Mrs. Webb.
And the good news keeps on coming.
There you go. Keep on bringing it.
Last June, we had some funding requests that were approved by County Council after a estimated financial report was given on fiscal year 2011 of the general fund excess of revenues over expenditures of approximately $1 million. As the county auditors are wrapping up and our fiscal year is ended, I'm pleased to say that the excess revenues of expenditures was considerably higher at a level of approximately $3.4 million. Because of the actual amount of revenues over expenditures is considerably higher and the need to fund additional amounts in our pension fund and OPEB fund, we're recommending the following. In your packet, you received a chart of recommendations as well as the minutes from the June 21st 11 meeting where the grants were approved and the discussion about approximately $1 million surplus going back to the taxpayers in the form of a one-time tax rebate. On the schedule is $136,000 to be spent for various grants that were authorized on June 21st, 2011, the open space funding per county ordinance, a one-time county property tax reduction we're recommending in the fiscal 2013 budget of $1,063,888. It's 3.5 cent reduction, and the remaining balance to be invested 50% in the county's pension fund and 50% in the pension benefit trust fund. And I don't know if Dave, if you want to add anything, as we worked on this together, obviously, as the numbers came in and we saw that it was going to be considerably higher. Mostly it's due to a increase over budget of the realty transfer tax and a very large decrease in the expenditures, and most of that was in personnel and employee benefits. So the ERO offers and natural attrition have done well with the budget.
Any comment, Dave, or are you just okay with sitting there?
No, I think Mrs. Webb covered it.
Okay.
So it's basically we're recommending your consideration for, again, reaffirming the grants that were previously approved by the council. And then, of course, we obligate 10% for open space, which is required by county ordinance. And then a one-time 3.5 cent tax credit, which would show up in next year's budget and, you know, as providing back to the taxpayer savings. And then the remainder would be divided up 50% between the pension fund, and then the other 50% would go to the pension benefit fund, which, according to the actuaries, although they're high, they're funded at, I think it's 89 and 73%,
right,
which is much better than most. We still have about a $9 million deficit in each of those funds. So this would help with that, and that will help reduce in the future contributions because, you know, that money will grow in there and help with the liability.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, as Councilman Cole addressed last week about the cost of the benefits and retirements and whatever, it's certainly, I think, a good thing for the council to do that. We have this money this year and put that in those funds because there could be a different time next year, economy-wise or whatever. So, Ms. Webb, you have a motion?
Yes, I do. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorizes expending or obligating the following amounts from the fiscal 2011 general fund excess of revenues over expenditures: $136,000 for various grants authorized by the County Council on June 21, 2011, obligating 10%, approximately $346,153 for open space as per county ordinance, obligating for a one-time 3.5 cent tax credit for the fiscal 2013 budget, costing approximately $1,063,888, expending 50% of the remaining balance as a contribution to the Sussex County Pension Trust Fund, approximately $957,746, expending 50% of the remaining balance as a contribution to the Sussex County Pension Benefit Trust Fund, approximately $957,746.
Entertain the motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any question on the motion?
So, I'm glad that we're adding to our funding of the retirement funds and the medical funds, and would like, you know, hopefully that we would continue to do that and build that up, because we didn't, nobody did well with the market this year, even our best investments, and so I think it's very important that we keep an eye on that.
Any more comments from council?
What is the, Sue, on the tax credit, about how much money are we talking about to the average tax
bill? On the average tax bill, which is $105.97, which was back when we did the budget, mm-hmm. about $8.30. And that's average, so you have some lower and you have some higher, right, depending on your assessed value.
Right.
$8.30.
Any more questions? Now we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. And
thank you
and Dave and for putting this all together. It everything takes effort. We appreciate that very much. And I'm sure the retirees will appreciate that very much down the road. Oh, it's amazing. Mr. Baker's doing, you're one of those, aren't you? Okay, well, okay. That's it. Yeah, okay. Next, Mrs. Brewington, Human Resources Director. Good morning.
Good morning. In your packets, there's an amendment to an ordinance. We had a typographical error in ordinance number 2223, where the word term was spelled T-E-M. So we have amended that. And also, we included holiday time under section 2931AB3. And that pertains to our paramedic group that accrues the holiday time.
Right.
So we added that to the ordinance.
Okay.
Do I have any questions?
Any questions?
That?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Were there some questions about the long-term disability
yes.
fund changes? That could have...
That's for the next ordinance.
Okay,
yep.
Fine. Great.
Yep.
Great.
Ms. Brewington, there was a question concerning procedurally about... concerning the introduction of the ordinances, did that affect this one as well?
The second ordinance.
It was the second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any more questions? You have a motion? We need a motion, I guess. Do we, right, yeah.
Just the introduction
of an ordinance.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is the second time. It's only the first time. Okay.
Read the short title and introduce it.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 29 of the Code of Sussex County relating to disability benefits for Sussex County employees. Ordinance corrects a typographical error in ordinance number 2223 and authorizes disabled employees under Sussex County's short-term disability plan to accrue holiday time if applicable.
I'll introduce it.
Mrs. Deaver introduces it. I try and get it passed all the same time, wasn't it? Next.
Okay. This next ordinance, I have a revised. I'm going to pass out. We actually had some issues, some concerns that were brought up from some employees in regards to survivor's benefits as it falls under the short-term, long-term disability plan. With the short-term disability, once it runs into the long-term and an employee is then transitioned to a long-term disability plan, they're no longer an active employee that would be eligible for survivor's benefit. So this amendment... What this does is at the time of a person who is on an approved long-term disability plan under Sussex County passes away, their eligible survivor would receive one half of the pension. So this was the issue that was brought to your attention.
Paramedics.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's what this plan does. So under 26.6, the change upon the death of an individual who at the time of his or her death is either receiving a service or disability pension or is on an approved Sussex County long-term disability plan under Section 2931A(c) and who has 8 years of credited service, a monthly survivor's pension shall be payable to his or her eligible survivor or survivors equal to one half of such service pension or disability pension.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions, Mr. Brewington?
No, I thought they were asking about the length of time they would be covered under disability if they're injured. I thought that was the issue.
No.
It was not? Because that's what I heard, you know.
This was the information that came back from Bob Stewart and Robbie Murray that we addressed, and we sent this amendment to them.
Good. I'm glad that that's straight. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Ms. Brewington, was this the ordinance that there was a question concerning procedurally?
Yes. There was a question if this information was brought to the personnel board for review. With this, the short-term, long-term disability plan we proposed, it went to public meeting. The amendment here is to address the survivor's benefit. We will be holding a personnel board meeting before the end of this year.
You had discussed this with the personnel attorney, correct?
Yes, I have. I have discussed this with a personnel attorney.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, if you would read the short title.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 26 of the Code of Sussex County relating to disability benefits for Sussex County employees. Whereas this ordinance extends survivor pension to survivors of individuals receiving an approved long-term pension through the Sussex County Disability Plan.
So
Mr. Cole will introduce it. Mr. Cole introduces it. Okay. And now you've got something else.
Okay. We were tasked with the pension committee and administration with looking at several options for our current pension plan and ways that we could reduce costs for Sussex County. We have two options that are in your packet that we had discussed through our pension committee and then also through administration and meetings. We took a poll of county government within Delaware and state of Delaware. There's a comparison sheet in your packet that talks about a lot of the changes that are going to be coming into effect for 2012 for state and Newcastle County. At this time, Kent County is not proposing any changes. So with us being tasked with looking at options, we came up with a couple different options. One would be a defined benefit pension plan, which is what we currently have now, and new employees, new hires, effective the beginning of the year, would contribute 3-5% of their annual base pay to the pension plan. And if the individual left prior to vesting, at least they would be able to take those contributions with them at the time of their termination. As it stands now, they would not if they had not vested for the 8 years. The second option that we have is to offer a choice of, for new employees coming in, of a defined benefit plan with a 3-5% employee contribution, or the employee could enroll in a defined contribution plan where the county contributes 1% of the employee's annual salary and will match up to 5% of the employee's contribution. So essentially, this is under a 401A, like a 401K plan. If left prior to vesting, employees would be able to take their contributions with them.
Now, comments or questions from Councilman Cole?
Well, I'm looking over, you know, some of these other proposed changes and other places like the state and different things. I think when I started, Dave, you might. When did we go from 10 years to 8 years? Weren't we 10 years for a number for a while? Then we switched to eight. I think I recall doing that.
Probably like 20 years ago, maybe we.
That's what
at
I mean.
One time we were like three years, but it was a very small pension, and then.
Right.
I think it was up to eight, maybe it was five and then eight, something like that. And
we were never 10.
I don't think we were ever 10.
Oh, I thought we were 10 and went backwards. Okay. Okay. What we're looking at is trying to make sure that what we do is sustainable into the future with what's happening out there in the real world and the cost and everything else.
Right.
And I do believe like 8 years, I think we might want to consider 10 years on like we are at the state and different things. And then our ages, what do we do now with, I see there's no change proposed. So right up here at 62, is that the magic age for Sussex County?
Yes. 15 years of service at age 60, 30 years at any age, or age 62 as long as they're vested, have at least 8 years of service.
Okay.
Paramedics and EOC, the 12-hour shift employees are a little different. They have 25 years of service. And last 8 years of their position must be in the same position in the EOC or paramedic mm-hmm. position.
Okay, I'm just thinking if we should be considering also 65 years, moving from 62 to a 65-year-old threshold, which is, again, seems to be where a lot of the rest of the country and jurisdictions are doing, again, to help make sure that we're, you know, in solid footing for the future. And I'm just looking at these things. There's nothing, like I said, all our existing employees are under the current plan. This is for new hires. And I think when new people are going out and looking for jobs anywhere right now, they're looking at, you know, 10 years seems like a reasonable number, and 65 years of age seems like a reasonable number. So maybe we ought to be starting to consider that now at this point.
Yeah, and I looked into that with the vesting period. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I noticed, you know, Kent County has no desire to change anything right now, and currently they have an 8-year vesting period, and I'm thinking of recruiting and retainment just for a lot of the folks being so close to Kent County. You know, that's just something to think about.
At the same time, though, they are raising their base contribution.
Kent County is staying the same. Yeah, Kent County is – there is no changes to Kent County for this year.
But they are at 3%.
They are at 3%.
They've already done it. They've already made their change.
Right. Not with vesting period, but with contributions.
Right.
The state is age 65 with 10 years of service.
That's new. Mm-hmm.
I think Newcastle, probably similar to what Mr. Cole was suggesting. Mm-hmm. And
it seems also, like I said,
20 years at 60.
The contributions 60. Also seem to be 5% doesn't seem to be unreasonable out there in the marketplace. So I
can't put in
8 years vesting.
No, I mean, how much? What's your contribution?
3%.
3%.
They have a defined benefit after the first $6,000. 3%.
Just 3%. Annual savings in the first year for new employees would only save minimal amounts, because it probably about $27,000 based on the what happened the last year. But eventually, that would be like $660,000 a year, because as new employees take over for older employees, and mm-hmm. you know, that number will just keep growing. So it would be less of a liability in the pension fund and less payments for the county to...
Here's a suggestion, Sam, Mike, Joan,
that's
is why don't we plug in a proposal with higher numbers? Because I know as we do things here, it's always easier to reduce things than to be more restrictive. So if we started with numbers like 5% contribution, 10 years instead of 8, and 65 years of age into a plan, and then start discussing it from that point. Okay.
And we wouldn't be competitive with Kent County under those.
I don't care about mm-hmm. Kent County. I care about Sussex County. Well, but anyway, I don't believe in this. I've heard school districts, I've heard all kinds of people. I was just at a meeting and I heard all these people saying, "Oh, if you don't raise your salary, people are going to run to these other places." I don't believe so. I mean, I think it's sometimes our property taxes, our quality of life, and other issues make up for some of these differences. So I don't believe a lot of times people are flocking to these other areas because there's higher pay in Kent County or in some county in Maryland. So I don't fall for that argument, but some people do, but I don't. So I would rather start at higher thresholds, and then we can...
For discussion purposes.
For discussion, well, we come in with a proposed plan. If we can agree to a plan for new hires only mm-hmm. with higher numbers, then we can start having our conversation and tweak it if we want to do that, or we may like what it looks like at that kind of thing. So
that
at least give us a one piece of paper that we're all talking the same thing, as opposed
I'm fine with that, because
okay,
I don't
Mr.
think
Wilson?
The I don't think real estate transfer tax is going to build up anytime soon.
Sure. Now, we were blessed for a period of all these transfer taxes to be able to put us in this financial mm-hmm. position. We may not see that again.
Okay.
This is
the feeling of council
is to work something like that up,
and then we'll talk about it and discuss it. The other thing I would ask, and I know you haven't had time, Mr. Baker and I discussed this, I'd also like you to come back with us on an option or options for new hires for medical insurance.
Right. That's
something. Tremendous cost to this county.
Right.
To see if there's options out there that we can tweak or save something or whatever, just to take a look at that.
It ought to be a total package. And when we go to new hires on this, Mike, I think you're right. I think our new hires ought to be see, you know, the pension and see the health benefits as a package, and we ought to do it all at the same time, so that we don't have staggered people coming in at different times and on different plans and all this other
stuff. Sure.
And, so, they put this money into it, they're going to be able to take it with them, too.
Right. If we end up with a plan that they contribute to, you're exactly right. When they leave, they can take their money with them and just move on.
That's exactly right. So why don't we, Todd, see if we can coordinate these two issues.
Okay.
So we do it all the time.
Good deal.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
You like the idea of defined contribution, not on the pension side. You like the idea of at least investigating defined contribution as an option for new employees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it might be, it might be something you end up coming back that we could end up with two plans. Yeah. I mean, the employee could choose to come on board as where they contribute to it or... Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. So yeah.
Right. But yeah, let's try to do it all together.
Yeah.
At the same time, then we have new people will be getting under the new plan at that date. Everybody will be the same.
Okay.
Easier to take.
Okay. Todd, that's good. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
You're welcome. You the last thing that I think that we probably need to address is the Family Medical Leave Act.
Okay.
And how there was some issues that were raised. They were wondering about Family Medical Leave Act, about a policy that was made by the county. And I just want to clarify that the Family Medical Leave Act of 1993 is a federal statute. That is not a county policy. Mm-hmm. And we have had, since 1993, our employment posters do talk about the Family Medical Leave Act. So I did want to just kind of clarify that.
Yeah.
That was brought up today. Everett, did you have any questions about that?
No, I don't see that on the agenda item.
It was
today.
In conjunction with the disability. So it was brought up where FMLA runs concurrent with the disability.
I still don't see that as an item on the agenda,
okay.
Which... Mm-hmm. Under item one or two.
Okay, maybe we can address an executive then at that point?
No, I don't believe you can discuss that in executive session.
Okay.
That would be something that would be discussed in open meeting.
Okay, that was just the information that we received from the attorney today.
Okay.
In regards to the disability pension and how it affects with FMLA leave.
Okay.
We can readdress.
Right.
Okay. All right.
We can put it on the meeting in January,
mm-hmm.
The first meeting in January, and you can bring that back to us. Sure. Because as you said, it's a federal policy, not something we can.
Right.
Correct.
We can't change the policy.
Right. Correct.
It could be more restrictive.
As long as we are not.
Could be. I don't.
As long as we're not in violation of FMLA.
Right. That's
yes.
Right. I mean, we don't. We have to abide by it, but we can be more. We can't be less restrictive.
Right.
Be more restrictive, mm-hmm. Right? So we might, yeah, we need to look at it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, FMLA cannot conflict what is in our ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not. It just runs in conjunction
with.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If you put on the agenda, Todd, for the first thing of January. Thank you, Karen.
Right,
very
thank
much.
You.
Thank
We're
you.
Keeping her very busy, aren't we?
Blank. Update on pending change of zone and conditional use applications.
Good morning,
sir.
Last week, we had a discussion and request for more information on the pending applications. In your packet on Friday, you would have received a short memo in reference to that with an attachment of a listing of 9 conditional uses and 2 change of zones, and also a copy of the minutes of the council meetings for each of those applications. I don't.
Okay.
And that's what was asked of you. Thank you, sir.
Yes, that's.
I gave the recommendation of the commission in the report. I referenced the Council Mag District in the councilman's name or councilwoman.
Thank you.
As I said, there are 9. There was one case that if you see your minutes, or if you looked at my minutes, might be a little confusing, was conditional use 1902 for Dorothy Garney, or Garvey, excuse me, with a professional medical office on Route 24. The reference makes reference that it was denied. That was denied on a 2-2 vote. Since it was 2-2, they could not get a
right.
3 majority vote. It became a denial.
Right.
The recommendation was for approval, but it ended up 2-2. So it would, and I found one error in a date on the condition use 1869. It was just, it was February 24th, not February 25th. Mm-hmm. I can summarize each one if you would like, as far as the recommendations of the commission.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
We're not waiting for them on any of these, are we? Are they? They've all, these have all
been
finished.
Recommendations have been made on all these. They're for this year, there were 9 applications for conditional use, pretty much in everybody's district, I believe, except for, well, it was Mrs. Devers, Mr. Phillips, and Mr. Cole's district.
Right.
Actually, on all, yeah, all 13, actually, or all 11, excuse me.
Mr. President, I would, if he could, because I think 1905 West Rehoboth Community Land Trust, if you could give a quick synopsis, I may make a suggestion that we put that on first of the year.
In that application, again, you have the packets before you with your minutes. The commission hearings were basically the same. The commission made a recommendation of approval on September 8th. However, on September 26th, the Board of Adjustment held a public hearing and denied the density.
Gotcha. All right.
So basically, that was one of the conditions that council would have had to place on this application.
Well, let's put this one on the agenda, and we'll under old business, please.
This could be placed on the agenda for old business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And then could you review the CZ 1710, Robert Browning and Bradley Davis, MR to B1, that was recommended. I just give us a little update on that.
Again, the commission held public hearing, council held public hearing. The council hearing was on September 27th, waiting on a recommendation from the commission. The commission met again on October 13th and made a recommendation of denial on that application.
And that's where is that location again?
That is the corner of Cedar Neck Road and Fred Hudson
right.
Road.
Let's put that one on too, under old business. I don't think there's anything out there that we don't know on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And on my other ones, I think on the Russell Banks borrow pit were...
Your other one would have been Russell Banks and Jeremy Smith. The Jeremy Smith you just heard back.
Just happened, right, so we're...
Last couple weeks.
Let that one go a little bit. And they're also, listen, Russell Banks, and I know the composting, Mr. Phillips was not here, definitely. With Mr. Russell Banks, he was here.
Yes.
He was, I was not.
Right. You were not.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah, leave those two off at this time because I think there's another issue with the Banks thing. And we put those two on for me. We'll at least clean up that part of my part of holding up this agenda.
Well, I've done my
homework. I'll wait a little bit. Anybody else wants to get rid of something, please?
I've done my homework on mine. I don't know if it's appropriate to put them on right away, but I'm ready. I'm ready. Sure.
Mm-hmm. On all yours?
Yes.
Okay.
If you think that's too much for one agenda, feel free to delay my two for the next.
Not too much for me.
I understand.
Well, that's fine.
We'll go over the agenda with Todd.
Todd, right. Todd, if it looks like it's too much of a burden, please feel free to, because time is not as the essence.
You just like to deal with them. Yeah,
I just want to get.
It hasn't got to be January 3rd. It
doesn't have to be January 3rd.
Be first year.
So they could eat, and I don't know if Mrs. Deaver cares either, but mine, feel free to spread them out.
Mrs. Deaver, the same thing for yours?
I'm just want to clear them up.
Okay.
That's all.
Right. That would basically be 6 of the 11 placed under old business on January 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll see how the rest of the
year
is.
You want to do it either way.
Right. Yeah. After the first of the year. That's
okay, that's fine.
Okay.
That'll help.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lane. Grizzo, Inland Bay's Regional Wastewater Improvements.